Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Today brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, IAMenCenter.com. Check them out today. I'm actually going to hang out with my guy, Dr. Nicholson, coming up on Friday. You got to be a man, go to the doctor, because if not, you're gonna regret it someday when you're like a dad. Speaking to a new dad today, TJ Otzelberger. Welcome back, Dames. How are you?
Doing great. Appreciate it.
When's the last time you got like a physical? Do you got to get like a yearly physical here?
You know, I don't think I've had a physical in a little bit. I think the realities of aging and health, I kind of try to stay away from. So just kind of cross my fingers and hope we're all right.
Was it weird for you? I won't lie, it was kind of weird for me when I walked back in here and you've got like a different office. But what was it like when you moved back in? You know what I mean? It's just kind of a surreal deal that you were gone 2 years ago. Now you're back to a place where you're at for pretty much a decade. How was moving day like for you?
You know what? It seemed like you were just on a long vacation.
Yeah.
And you never left. You walked in, and it's funny, the code for the door that I used to use to get into the Sukup still worked. And you walk in and you see Julie, and obviously, you know, she'd been a big part of our life and just the whole office. And you feel like, man, I'm home. I was just on this long vacation, and it felt just like, you know, where you're supposed to be. So it was a good feeling, a very settled feeling.
It's interesting around here because I come in here today and usually Fred's walking around and you don't see him. He's obviously got the procedure coming up on Friday. What's it like as a staff right now? I know you guys just got out of a big meeting, but he's gone. I mean, you're back. I mean, this thing happened so quickly. What are you guys doing right now? How is this whole thing playing out?
You know, I think as a staff, the important part right now for all of us, I mean, what's best for Fred and the program and all these guys moving forward is that we all kind of bind together. I think when you don't have your leader with you on a daily basis right now, because obviously he has a surgery, it's so critical that the rest of us are all working in synergy and working with the guys. I think there's, you know, it's a lot on their mind to think of their head coach, their leaders going to this surgery. Obviously, Fred and his family have a lot on their mind. So what we're trying to do is just really bind together as a group and be what we need to be for our guys and for the players so that they, you know, going through this time, that they know they can count on us to be there.
Is it, how's your job different now compared to when you were here the last time? I mean, it's a weird deal. You get rehired. The recruiting process is starting up in like 5 days. Fred is going, he's going in to have surgery. Are you in kind of a leadership role right now as Coach Mann? I mean, how is that whole thing working together?
Yeah, I think more than anything, instead of it being, you know, about one person's individual role, it's about pulling the collective strengths of our staff, working to the best of our ability and going through it. Obviously, Coach Mann and Coach Henry have been recruiting certain guys already that we're involved in. And then there might be guys that I've had relationships with or be involved in that I can kind of bring to the table. So I feel like as a collective group, we're trying to just put this thing together and keep it, where it needs to be to move forward. So obviously you're kind of thrown into the, you feel like in some senses with the recruiting, having, you know, right now three scholarships essentially, thrown in a little bit of a tornado of we need to figure out how to best use those. We need mm-hmm. Here's our immediate needs. Here's our long-range needs. So I think it's again, just binding together as a group every way, shape, and form to put it all together.
What about swag, man? You're wearing an Iowa State polo. Is that from the last time, or did you get new stuff already?
No, we got some new stuff, man. All right. We don't mess around with the gear. Between Ryan, the equipment guy, and Micah designing it, man,
that's good.
We've definitely got some upgraded gear, so it feels good. Feels good to rock it, man.
What's the difference on the recruiting trail now compared to, I wouldn't say last time you were here, because you guys had gone to an NCAA tournament the last time you were recruiting for Iowa State, but there were some years where, I mean, it had been a long time since this program had had success. Now on a national level, I feel like people know Iowa State. Is there a different reception out on the trail?
I think so. I mean, when you're talking about four consecutive NCAA tournaments and two Big 12 tournament championships and a Sweet 16, I think it definitely elevates the overall level of the program, and I think that makes this even more of an attractive place and can raise our level nationally on a recruiting stage. And I think certainly over the last few years, we've capitalized on that with some key transfers that have come in and had huge impact roles for the program. And I think as we move forward, what we've talked about as a staff is hopefully trying to identify some of the high school guys as well and trying to get some of those guys in here and build it and sustain it. And I think that because we've been successful and because this program has been successful for the last 4 years, that we're going to be able to do that. And hopefully our reach is a reach that we can get across the country and even sometimes internationally as well, mm-hmm. and get out and touch some guys. So, you know, that's really where we're at. And I feel like that the level is elevated and that we can definitely build upon the successes that have gone on here for the last few years.
I want to talk a little bit about you personally. So you've coached under now Greg McDermott, Fred, Lorenzo Romar. I know Bobby Lutz was instrumental in you becoming the coach that you are today. But what? So when you went out to Washington, you wanted to learn more. You wanted to experience new things, etc. What did you experience out there? I mean, how did that help shape you to be the coach that you are right now, sitting back in the SUCOP?
Well, I think first of all, I've been fortunate in working for three really, really talented head coaches with Greg McDermott and Fred Hoiberg and then Lorenzo Romar. And for me, that's kind of helped me overall as my evolution as a coach, because what you see is there's a lot of different ways to be successful. And each one of those guys has their strengths and things that has allowed them to be great. And part of my, rationale or going out there is that to go to Washington was that working for Coach Romar would give me another high-level coach who is a high-character person to be around every day, mm-hmm. and to learn from and learn his system. And I feel like because of that experience, it's going to allow me to be a better coach here. It's going to be able to make better suggestions for Fred, because it's just everything you see, you grow and develop and mm-hmm. evolve. And I think that helps you, even in the long term, kind of put your own basketball philosophies together. So I think that, Coach Romar is more of a defensive-minded coach. And I think that some of those concepts and principles maybe have helped me evolve in that way. And you just hope that every day you're a lifelong learner and you're gaining insight and knowledge and getting better. And when you see somebody else and what they do, I think that you can pull certain things from that. And hopefully I can use some of those things that we did at Washington too and kind of help implement some things here as we move forward.
Lorenzo is, he's known nationally as one of the top defensive coaches in college basketball year in, year out. Fred, likewise on offense, are you more well-rounded in that, like a game plan, a scouting standpoint now after having been with Lorenzo? Do you think you can bring more defensively to Iowa State, I guess the question?
I think so. And I think overall, as when you talk about well-rounded, I don't think it's any secret that Coach Hoiberg's one of the best offensive minds in the game, whether it's college, mm-hmm. pro, whatever. I mean, he is. And I think that we need to continue to build defensively, and I feel like that experience I've had is, just maybe one thing you pick up here, one thing you pick up there, a terminology deal, a out of a timeout scheme, a strategy, just whatever it is. I think that as you see different ways to do it, I think that that gives you more weapons or more of an arsenal in your bag of tricks to be able to implement during a game. And hopefully that experience has allowed me to bring some of those things to help supplement what we're already doing here.
What about your relationship with Greg McDermott? I know you guys are still close. I mean, talk about how you guys are today and, how that's evolved even after you're not working for him anymore, but he was the guy who gave you your big break. What's that relationship like today?
I'll always have a tremendous amount of respect, loyalty, gratitude to Greg McDermott for basically giving me my first opportunity in Division I coaching. I mean, can't say enough that there's a lot of allies and friends and things like that. But to me, I hold that, very close that Greg had that belief in me essentially as I was just getting going in my career to give me that opportunity, put the trust in me to allow me to go out on the road and recruit, and wasn't a micromanager, was a more of a servant leader in terms of that. So Greg and I are extremely close. I mean, he's one of my best friends. He's somebody that, through all these processes and as you move around, you tend to find out when things, you move and go through stuff, who are the people that you really are close with and who are those people that are friends and lifelong friends. And certainly, Greg would fall into that category.
Personally, the move, I thought it was interesting. I mean, you more or less, you took the job And then like three, 4 days later, there was a picture on Twitter of you and Allison and the kids flying here. That happened quickly.
You know, I feel like just we were fired up, obviously, to get back. We couldn't be more excited to get back. I mean, shoot, I walk through to the women's side of the facility and see my wife painted all over the walls. And and they probably were excited, you know, to when I left, nobody cares. I mean, my wife was a phenomenal player and obviously great relationships on that side. So I'm sure there's some people that said, hey, don't let the door hit you in the butt, TJ, when you leave. But we're fired up that Allison's back. So we talked about the transition and just going back and forth and with 2 4-month-old twins, how challenging that would be. And I felt like, you know, we need to hit the ground running here, especially with what's going on, what's transpiring with Coach Hoiberg with his surgery and things. So didn't really feel like there was a lot of time to waste. And I did not want to go through this venture as Allison and I visited about it with having my family away. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a quick transition. And it's been awesome though. We've had so many great people here that have helped us out. Friends that we've had before, friends that have, the amount of emails and text messages of people that have offered to babysit or come to lunch or dinner, just all those things have been awesome.
Do you have all your stuff?
We do not.
How's this working? I mean, you've got 4-month-olds.
We basically are living out of about 3 or 4 duffel bags we checked on the plane, had some portable cribs set up for the kids. We're sleeping on a small bed, trying not to box each other out at night to make sure we don't roll off. So we're getting by, though. We're making it work. And again, we've had so many great people that have offered to help. So the transition's been smooth.
How has fatherhood changed you?
I think it's helped balance me quite a bit. I think the one thing that you understand is, you know, we're very passionate, and I'm very passionate about Iowa State and our work here and trying to be successful and keep building on successes. But I think that what you gain perspective when you see your kids and you come home every night and wake up to them every morning, and just when you look in their eyes or you see them smile and the purity that they bring, I think it kind of helps bring you back to, you know, the place of just, you know, safety, security, all those things, I think, and being part of a family. And so for me, it's helped definitely balance me a lot. I think there's so many times in the past where your day just leads into you're going, and you don't always stop and just take a break and, you know, smell the fresh air and just, you know, hang with your kids. And for me, it's helped me to try to be present more in every moment, because you realize that how quickly they grow. You leave for a 3 or 4 day recruiting trip, you come back and they've grown more hair, and all of a sudden teeth are starting to come in, all those things. So you realize that you need to take every day, get the most out of every day, be present in every moment, and not let it pass you by.
You mentioned this to me before when you first came back about wanting to raise your kids around here, or not even that, but just have them experience. I mean, it's where you got your break. It's where Allison, I mean, she's a legendary women's basketball player at Iowa State. I mean, talk about that, where you want your kids to be. I mean, as far as, do you look forward to that, having them wearing Iowa State gear and walking around during practice, that type of thing?
Yeah, we do.
Games, I mean, that.
We couldn't be more fired up again. My wife's originally from Australia. I'm originally from Milwaukee. But at the end of the day, this is home for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is our sense of family, community, people that we care about. And you know, it's funny, put the picture on Twitter last week of my son with the Iowa State hat, and then the one with my son and daughter. And the only thing I'll say is we need to find some gear that fits them right now, because the hat, my son's head is so big that we couldn't find a kid's hat to fit him at this point. So we might need to get an adult one, but we are excited. It's going to be awesome to have them at a game this winter wearing Cyclone stuff and embracing the tradition. And obviously all the relationships and growth and development I've had here and my tenure, and then my wife as a player here, we couldn't be more fired up to have our kids here and have them sharing that experience with us.
What about the team next year? I mean, you guys have a lot coming back. It seems like every single thing that pops up, Iowa State's like a top 10 team heading into next year. Clearly a lot to be excited about. Are you looking forward to getting back on the gym with George? I mean, a guy who you were instrumental in getting him here, didn't really get to work with him during, you know, the middle 2 years of his career, but just stuff like that. Naz, you brought him to Iowa State. How much are you looking forward to getting on the court and working with those guys?
You know, as everything gets going in a million directions, I mean, for me, my passion in being a coach and getting into coaching was for those very experiences, the connections that you have with you know, young men as they're in that developmental stage and being a mentor and working with them on the floor and teaching the game and just being out there and kind of in that moment getting those guys better. And definitely have some close relationships with those guys. I mean, like you brought up a few with George and with Naz and Matt Thomas and the recruiting process with them. Now it'll be so neat to, as they've grown even more since they've been away, to be part of that last chapter of their life for those guys as Cyclones and guys like, you know, Jameel McKay and Deontay Burton who have come here as well, guys I've known since middle school. And
I think people forget about that. So you actually recruited them, both of those guys, I believe, to Iowa State while they were in high school. Is that correct? Even though they didn't choose Iowa State, weren't you in on that?
Yeah, with Jameel, I mean, he was coming to camps here as a freshman, and it's amazing to see his development because as he came as a freshman in high school, he was a skinny 6'5", and now to see what he's evolved to. But he had come to our camps. I remember the first time he got out of a car for one of our elite camps, and he got out and played on the gym at Hilton. And now to be able to come back, or for me to watch him play this year and see where he's gotten to from where he was, is awesome. But Jameel's somebody that I've had, you know, a strong relationship with since he was a freshman in high school. And with Deontay, couldn't be closer. I mean, Deontay is one of those guys that even as he looked at leaving Marquette this past year, we weren't in position to recruit him at Washington, but he had asked from me a lot of times. I had talked to him 3 or 4 times right away in the process about Iowa State, what a great place it is. So it's kind of ironic how it all comes full circle. And now with those guys, I mean, they both grew up 10 minutes from where I grew up, or within 10-minute range. And to know them for, I mean, we're going on 7, 8 years with both of those guys. I've had relationships with them, and it's going to be fun to work with them every day.
What describe Deontay's game. Not a lot of people know exactly what Iowa State's getting other than the dunking thing that John Walters put out on Cyclones TV, but obviously a sensational athlete. But what do you expect from him?
You know, Deontay is a mismatch forward. I mean, he's at 6'4", 6'4.5", and I mean, he goes about 250. I mean, he's one of those guys, I wouldn't put him, you know, like Royce, how Royce can put the ball in his hands in the middle of the floor and make plays and create, and he's an impossible matchup problem one-on-one because he's just so strong and so physical attacking the rim. You know he's going to go left. You know he wants to attack the rim, but yet you can't stop it. So he's just so strong and powerful. He's definitely one of those guys that one-on-one teams are going to really have to figure out how they're going to play him. Are they going to double off him? Are they going to go zone? Are they going to help? Some of those things, because when Deontay has the ball and he's aggressive attacking the basket, he's a load to stop.
Mm-hmm. What about Hollis Cook? You coached against him in the Pac-12, another guy who I don't think Iowa State fans know a whole lot about. Give me a scouting report on him.
Yeah, Hollis had a phenomenal freshman year for Oregon State. I mean, he had a lot of games that not only just shooting the ball, I think sometimes feel people talk about his ability to shoot the three, which he did shoot over 40% as a freshman, which is really impressive. But he's able to make some plays and facilitate and create off the bounce as well. And I think anytime you can go into a major conference and average, you know, 9 points, shoot over 40% from three, you know, that's going to translate. And having the year sitting out just to get stronger and get tighter with your handle and more consistent and things like that is going to help. But Hollis was one of those guys as a freshman in the Pac-12 that you played against and felt like this is going to be a guy who would have been all conference players and upperclassmen. And now that year of sitting out, it's only going to make him that much better. So I think fans are going to be very pleasantly surprised at what he brings to the table from day one.
What about Matt Thomas? He's a guy who has shown so many glimpses the last 2 years of being really, really good. And then it almost seems like Matt he'll just lose some confidence, and he'll disappear for a while. But then when he comes back and he hits some big shots, you know, he was the only guy I think in that NCAA tournament game that was making shots for Iowa State. What do you have to do to get him a little more consistent the next couple of years?
I think with Matt, the main thing is building his confidence that way. I think that obviously, you know, he came in as a freshman with very highly regarded and thought of and had immediate opportunity. And I think in some ways it's great because it threw him in the fire and caused him to fight through it. In other ways, it might have been too much too soon. And that was just the position that the team was in and what they needed from him. I think now as we move forward, Matt has evolved and progressed so much. I think this offseason and building his confidence is huge. I think he's capable of a lot more than he's demonstrated and shown. I think he's poised to have a great year and really step up as a scoring guard that can, again, he's a lot of it comes from shooting a three, but he can do more than that off the dribble, making some plays and mid-range floater and things like that. So the great part is we get 10 practices this summer because we're going to Spain at the end of the summer. Mm-hmm. And for a guy like him to kind of reinvent himself, do some of the things, build on what he's done, but reinvent himself in those practices and as we go to Spain to be a weapon, one of those guys that can be step up as a really good scorer in this league.
Final question I got for you is about recruiting. I know you can't get into specifics, but you guys do have, as you mentioned, 3 scholarships to burn at this point. Burn's probably not the right term, but to use. Is there a timetable when you guys want to be done? I mean, because it's so fluid. I mean, the recruiting's just so weird anymore. Is this like a deal you want to have it done in a month? You want to have it done? What would you say to that? Is there a specific time period?
You know, I think it's more about finding the right guys that fit what we need. And that timeline, as we've seen from Coach Hoiberg especially, can happen at any point. I mean, it could be if the right guy's out there tomorrow, we'd love to get him on board. If the right guy's out there in 2 months, we'd love to get him on board. Obviously, there's a little bit of an unsettling feeling when, you know, you have 3 scholarships to fill and where are they best addressed? What needs do we need to address and who are the right guys to do that? But I feel like as a staff, we've continued to meet and talk about who those options are that are available now and what we need to address for next year's team, but also how do we build moving forward to put pieces in place, not only to be as successful as we can this year, but as we move forward.
That's all I got for you, man. Was this painful?
No, man. It feels great to be back. It feels like home.
Feels weird. We were just doing these little video interviews not too long ago.
Yeah, at first it was hard because I was looking for the cowboy boots you usually wear, and now when you came,
I got the boat shoes.
Boat shoes on.
It's because it's spring.
That's a different deal.
The boots will be back in the fall.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're staying loyal to your Western Iowa boots.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No question about that. Tell Allison hi for me, all right?
Absolutely, my man. Great to be back. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. TJ Otzelberger on today's podcast. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center for its sponsorship. We'll have a fresh podcast for you tomorrow here at PsychOneFanatic.com. Thanks for listening.